Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to which we can all say, Amen. Or not. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All of these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Dear friends in Christ Jesus. Now, first of all, let me say this. I was here about 15 years ago in the pulpit on Martin Luther King Day. For some reason, I end up in the pulpit on Martin Luther King Day a lot. And so I was asked by Andy Bartelt. Anybody remember Andy Bartelt? Know of Andy Bartelt? Famed and legendary lore keeper of the Missouri Synod. I was asked by him to mention Dr. King from the pulpit. And I said to him, nope, we're not going to do that. And he said, oh, you were in black ministry, you have to do that. And I was like, no, we're going to talk about him. If we're going to talk about him, we're going to talk about him. We're not just going to mention him. So today I'll say a few things about Dr. King. But then we'll move on to this text we have, and I think they're connected in this way, in that if the Holy Spirit of God had been a larger part of what happened, things would have gone even better. Dr. King had his flaws, of course. You guys know about those. They've been publicized. And they're important in a certain way in that we all have flaws, but I think if we had our dirty laundry looked at the way Dr. King did, most of us would find a few things in our closet as well. But Dr. King also did a great job on bringing to the fore the issues of civil rights based on the content of character, based not on appearance, based on fairness, and based on bringing about the ideals of the Declaration of Independence and the ideals of the Constitution for all people in this country, not just a few. So for that, we owe him a debt of gratitude. Amazing things he did, amazing suffering, and also a kind of a martyrdom for his cause, of course. And Dr. King, as far as we know, was also a believer in Jesus Christ, one who worked tirelessly with a gospel that involved more liberation than we're accustomed to. But I think it has to be said that there is greater strength in actually repenting of bigotry than in simply saying it will go away by education or exposure. And that's the problem, isn't it? We always think the other guy is the bigot. But the problem is we're all bigots. We all have that sin of bigotry. Some of us for one thing, some for another, some based on race, some based on academic achievement, some based on all kinds of other criteria. But we're all prejudicial in certain ways and unfair. And that's what we need to repent of, is this sin of bigotry. As I said, it's not always about race. It can be about snobbery. It can be just about hating our neighbor, because we don't always like each other. Now, I think one of the big things that would help with that is what we have in our text. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking with the Spirit of God ever says Jesus be accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Because if we have Jesus as our Lord, we must honestly confess what we are as well. I, a poor, miserable sinner, and I don't like that translation because it's pietistic, And misere in Latin actually seems to mean wretched more than miserable. I, a poor wretched sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you. You see, Jesus is Lord means that we have to be honest. And when we are honest, Jesus says, you are forgiven. And when we are not honest, Jesus says, you are judged. And so we flee to Jesus' mercy. We flee to his cross. Because Jesus Christ is Lord, he is also our Savior. In ancient and medieval times, people understood lordship. Today, we don't understand lordship in the United States of America. We have declared by the Enlightenment, there is no lordship. There is only wealth. There is only power. But lordship is gone. And so for Americans, the idea of Jesus is Lord is unfamiliar and uncomfortable. We want Jesus to be Savior. And of course, Jesus is. We prefer Jesus as Savior because Jesus as Savior is not necessarily a Jesus of obligation. He is not necessarily a Jesus of nobility or a Jesus of duty. Jesus, of course, is Savior, but that is because lords come to save their people. Lords are also saviors. But saviors are not necessarily lords. And so Paul tells us that the way we can be sure that we have the Holy Spirit is by declaring Jesus is Lord and meaning it. Because anybody can utter the vocables. And so let's try this just for grins. Jesus is Lord. Spoken like true Lutherans, most humble in their speaking. Let's try a little bit more vigor. Jesus is Lord. Thank you. That's like I got a good deal at Best Buy. That was pretty good. Yes, Jesus is Lord. He is our Lord. And you see these guys called the Pentecostals like to come around and say, oh, you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't speak in tongues, but I speak in Hebrew and Greek and Latin and German. Do you? But I think the main thing is that Paul had a hard time with people speaking in tongues. He said he did it more than anybody. And he never sets an order for getting the gifts, and he never says you have to have tongues first. Instead, what Paul says is the indicator of the Holy Spirit is the simple declaration that Jesus Christ is Lord. Paul sets a low bar, a bar that Lutherans can pass. We actually do believe that Jesus is Lord. We declare it at the beginning of our service when we put Jesus there with the Father and the Spirit. We declare it in our creeds. We declare it in our blessings. We declare it in our hymns. We declare it in our texts of Scripture. In Philippians chapter 2, we read, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." It's disturbing. People say they want to escape God, they want to go to hell because there are all the parties there. They like to joke about that. But the fact of the matter is that everyone in heaven, on earth, in hell, everywhere will declare Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of everything. He rules heaven, earth, hell, everything. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Why is it important to say that Jesus is Lord? Because he is. He is the Lord over you. He is the Lord over me. He has established his lordship by going to the cross, being crowned with thorns, being raised from the dead. He has established his lordship in his dialogues with Pilate. He has established his lordship in the work of the apostles in Acts. Jesus Christ is your Lord and my Lord. Jesus Christ sets us up for that second kind of righteousness in which, with Jesus as Lord, we get the privilege of doing Jesus things. Loving the neighbor, taking care of our fellow man, and yes, seeking the appropriate rights and liberties of our fellow people. So there's lots of good news this morning. You have the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that empowered the apostles and prophets, the same Spirit that worked with Jesus in his ministry. And we have a great Lord, Jesus Christ, who takes care of us, loves us, and protects us. And finally, we even have spiritual gifts which God gives us to use, each as God has given and apportioned. So there should be no rancor or jealousy, no petty envy. God gives as he wills and apportions the evidence of his grace in us through the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.